Middle East, but it really hasn't been. It's actually made things difficult for Israel, Turkey, and Jordan because they were getting geared up for something, and now they're just not sure what's going to go on over there. But really, first and foremost, as an American, I think that our American troops ought to be what's considered first and foremost. But that's a whole other area. But we do know that there's a lot of turmoil, and there's going to be turmoil in that part of the world. Every single president, I was listening to somebody talking earlier this week, every single president in recent years has tried to deal with the Middle East, and all of them have had things come back to haunt them when they've tried to deal with things in the Middle East. And that's because they're trying to bring peace to a region that will know no peace until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And we know that that's a turbulent region. We know that it's going to be even more turbulent in the future. And I might talk about some things going on there. We've talked about Egypt. We've talked about Syria. And I might talk about a few more places there tonight. But we can talk about that, of course. And if you've got another question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we can get you on with your questions here this evening. And I want to take a look here, because in the midst of all of this, of course, we've got Jordan, as I said, being one of the places that is uneasy right now tonight, not sure what's going to happen. And the last I had heard, Jordan had said they would not allow an attack on Syria to be launched from Jordan. But I believe we were going to be overflying Jordan probably. And now they're not sure what's going to happen. But let's take a look at what the Bible has to say a little bit about Jordan. Now, you're not going to find the country of Jordan in the Bible. And really, you're not going to find something called the Jordanian people in the Bible or anywhere, really, until the creation of the nation of Jordan in the 1920s, I believe it was, 20s or 30s, 1920s, late 20s or into the 30s there. But God says in Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against their border. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, even the breeding of nettles and salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. Now, Moab there is located in the area of modern-day Jordan. And so you find the Moabites there. In addition, you find the Edomites and the Ammonites. That's A-M-M-O-N, the Ammonites, and you'll find them there. Here's Jeremiah chapter 49, verses 17 and 18. Also Edom shall be a desolation. Everyone that goeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss all the plagues thereof. As in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, no man shall abide there, neither shall a son of man dwell in it. And in both cases, these things have not been completely fulfilled. And so again, as we've seen with other scriptures and other prophecies, it would appear that they're yet future. And likewise, Psalm 83, verses 5 through 15, prophesies of the destruction of Edom, Moab, and Ammon, as well as a few other countries. And we can take a look at this here, but we've got some calls coming in. And let's go ahead and take some of our calls here this evening, and we may come back to this and take a look at Psalm 83 here again a little bit. But you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and you can give us a call with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, 888-677-9673. We've got Stephen on the line, and Stephen, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hey, Pastor Al, how are you?
Good evening. Good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I just had a question. I was reading
why do most Christian churches still promote Barack Obama and their churches, like mostly African American churches?
You were kind of breaking up there a little bit. Did you say why do churches do what?
Still promote Barack Obama and their churches.
Oh, okay. You would have to ask those churches really, you know, in particular that do. My position is I try to look at what somebody believes and what somebody stands for. And, you know, I remember, what would it be? Not 8 years ago, 7 years ago, something like that, when he was running for his first election, we did have people ask the question. They said, our church is pro-life. Our church is, for traditional marriage, against same-sex marriage and all that. And they asked me, they said, why is my church telling me to vote for somebody that is not pro-life and is not strongly for traditional marriage and favors special rights for homosexuals? And I said, you had to ask your pastor that. Sometimes there are issues that are more important to people than those issues, and I think that's what happens sometimes. As far as I'm concerned, you know, I look at what somebody stands for each time, and as long as I've been pastor, we've been trying to evaluate presidential candidates of both parties at our church whenever we have presidential election on the basis of several key positions, and those positions are the abortion pro-life issue, the traditional marriage issue, also special rights for homosexuals, and there's a few other ones, but that's probably three of the big ones. And whichever candidate it is, if they are not pro-life, for instance, I believe it's Chris Christie in New Jersey is one of the ones that's being touted as a possible Republican contender, you know, for the next presidential election. And I would have difficulty supporting him because he's not pro-life. And I remember some years ago when, who was it in New York was touted as a Republican candidate. It was a mayor of New York City. I just can't think of his name right now. And I spoke out against him because he was not pro-life and he was, you know, in favor of special rights for homosexuals. And so whether it's Republican or Democrat, I don't think should matter. I think what should matter is their position on issues that are important to us as Christians. And I guess I could tell you that I would say to somebody, just like I've said in all these other presidential elections, you need to find the candidate that best represents your views. And that's who right. You ought to be promoting. And, I'll readily admit, you know, truth in advertising here, I'm registered as a Republican. And, you know, generally speaking, in virtually every presidential election, I voted for the Republican candidate, except for one. And that was when I voted third party. I just couldn't vote for Bob Dole back in the 90s when he was running against Bill Clinton for challenging him on, I think, his second term. And but I'm looking at the elections coming up, and I'm seriously wondering if in the next presidential election, if the Republicans are going to be running somebody that I can support and somebody that I can vote for. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, I know where the Democrats stand on the issue of abortion. You might have seen the article that was out this past week, the Iowa Democrat Party prayer, where they said, thank God for abortionists. And in the course of it, they prayed referring to abortion as a blessing. And praying for women made afraid by their paternalistic religion. And, you know, that's that. As a Christian, I just can't support that. You know, and I look at the special rights for homosexuals. As a Christian, I just can't support that. And some of the candidates that are being touted on the Republican side for the next presidential election are soft on these issues, and some of them even endorsing some of these issues. And when the Democrats become, or I'm sorry, the Republicans become synonymous with the Democrats, then I will no longer be able to support them, and I will be forced to go third party, because if no matter who I vote for, I'm going to be voting for an abortionist, a pro-homosexual special rights, and an anti traditional family, and anti-free speech in terms of, you know, our religious freedoms, then if it doesn't matter who I vote for, I can't support any of them. And so as for me and my church, I guess I can say, you know, we try to follow what the Bible says, and try to support the candidate that is most in line with our Christian beliefs, our biblical values and beliefs. And for churches that don't do that, I can't answer for them. I'm not a part of them. I'm an independent Baptist, and as an independent Baptist, we don't have a hierarchy over us. We don't have a organization over us that we're answerable to. We're answerable. It's us and the Lord. And you know, I'm answerable to the people in my church and to my Lord. And so, you know, I wish I could explain better why some churches support the, and let's broaden it from just the president. You know, in many cases, why do churches support candidates that are the antithesis of what they believe and what their biblical values are? I can't answer for them. So,
I just wanted to say, because I'm a 21-year-old African-American, you mm-hmm. know, and like, that's why I usually see around, you know, most African-American churches, you know, like mm-hmm. you see the Obama face printed all over the church fans, and people just constantly talking about them in God's house. And I just think that's kind of like blasphemy, because you have a man that's pro-choice. He's given all these rights to homosexuals. He's totally abolished the traditional marriage. And like, he's doing everything against God, but these people are still putting their faith in him.
Well, and see, you know, that's the problem that we have as human beings. We tend to look at the government as the one that's going to solve all of our problems. And I understand, you know, the historical significance, President Obama being elected as the first black president. And that's a tremendous thing. You know, on that level, it made me proud to be an American, to see America do that. But at the same time, you know, it's a matter of, just like what you identified, we have to look at our biblical values. I remember, and this is just just one of many situations, but I'm trying to think, it must be about about 8 or 10 years now. If you can remember when there was an election and for the governor of Ohio, and on one hand was Ken Blackwell, and the other hand, he was a Republican nominee, and on the other hand was Strickland, who went on to become governor, and I'm trying to think of his first name there, but he was the Democrat nominee, and he won. Now, Mr. Strickland was, he was not pro-life. He was not a big proponent of traditional families and you know, the biblical values. Mr. Blackwell was. And the other added thing with that election, and believe me, I supported Ken Blackwell as governor of Ohio. And I went to some rallies where he was at, heard him speak, impressed me greatly. And yet, he did not win. And, you know, I don't know who voted for him entirely and who didn't, but I do know that a lot of people will vote Democrat simply because they're a Democrat, regardless of what they believe. And likewise, there are people who will vote Republican just because they're a Republican. In that particular race, Strickland was a white Democrat candidate, and Ken Blackwell was a black Republican candidate. And in that particular case, for a great many people, the fact that he was not a Democrat was more important than the fact that he was in line with their biblical beliefs. And, right. You know, why he wasn't supported and why he didn't get the support that I think he should have had. I think he'd have been a tremendous governor for the state of Ohio. And I was disappointed when he lost. I keep hoping he'll try to run again sometime. Some years before that, when we had Taft as governor, Blackwell challenged Taft in the primaries. And I supported Blackwell in the primaries because I thought he was the better candidate. And instead, we got Taft, which I think he kind of failed as a governor personally. I don't think he was one of Ohio's outstanding governors. But what becomes more important to us in an election? A person's positions, are they in line with our biblical beliefs, or is there some other agenda or position that's more important than our biblical beliefs? And that's what it really boils down to for each individual Christian. I
ask people in my church like the same question, like, you know, why are you voting for him? And most people just say, oh, he's going to give us government benefits or all this other stuff. And I tell them, like, you know, Jesus is our provider, that, you know, you should be not voting for him just because he's giving you government. He's promising you government benefits when he's going to do all this other stuff that's totally against God. They just can't comprehend that.
Well, and again, like we talked about, it's a lot of, and I'm not trying to you know, run individuals down or anything, but a lot of people, Christians, a lot of Christian people who mean well, love the Lord, oftentimes, and you and I do it too, just like everybody else does, because we're all human beings. And oftentimes, we will let things become more important to us in some areas of our life than the Lord Jesus Christ. I do it. There's times where, you know I should be reading my Bible or spending some time in prayer, and I'll see something on the television, and I'll say, I can put the Lord on hold. No, I shouldn't be doing that. You know, but for some reason, something on the television becomes more appealing to me than the Lord. And, you know, so that's in maybe a lesser situation, but we do that. And that's a part of growing as Christians, putting God first and foremost in our life, doing what we can to support, biblical principles. And so I'm not going to pretend for a moment that Republicans represent biblical principles all the time. And certainly Republicans in their history have oftentimes really taken advantage of Christians and right. promised them things and never delivered. And I remember seeing that happen back in the 80s, where they enlisted the support of the moral majority. And then after they won their elections, they told them to, you know, get lost. Don't talk to us, and didn't have anything to do with them again until the next election. When they needed him again. And that happens on both sides. That's politics. And so that's why I believe we need to pray for people. We need to pray that when somebody goes into the voting booth or whenever there's an election, that they would allow God to direct their vote through his word and pray. You know, we have a tremendous opportunity, a tremendous freedom that you've been given and I've been given. And that's the right to vote in this country and to vote for the candidate of your choice. And, you know, there's a lot of people get out there and they'll say, well, Obama's not my president. Well, I'm sorry, he is. Whether or not you voted for him, whether or not you like him, he is the president of the United States of America. When the vote was taken and the, not the popular vote, but the Electoral College, when that vote was taken, and that vote was certified, that he was selected as the president, he became constitutionally the president of the United States. And we are to pray for our leaders. We pray for him every day, every Sunday in our church, that God would save him. I think what a difference that would make if he turned his heart over to the Lord and started to live for Christ and as a president of the United States and as the husband of his wife and the father of his children. What a tremendous opportunity that man would have to represent Christ to the world around us. And so we pray for him. Pray for him every Wednesday night at our Wednesday night Bible study or prayer meeting, that God would reach him with the gospel and open his eyes that he might be saved. And pray for all of our leaders, that God would reach him with the gospel. I know we kind of went long on that talking about politics there. We don't usually get into politics in an off election year as much, but you did have some valid questions there. So,
yeah, like I was like, I really couldn't wrap my mind around it. Like, you have people can say they believe in Jesus and want to follow him, but they vote and put their faith in a man who was doing so much against God. Like he even came out and said, like, that we aren't a Christian nation anymore.
Well, I kind of have to agree with him on that. I mean, we stopped being a Christian nation, I think, with abortion on demand and the authorization of same-sex marriage in state after state, the allowance of homosexuals to openly serve in the United States military, and the crackdown on freedom of speech for Christians in the military, and chasing Christians out of the public square, telling people they can't pray in Jesus' name anymore. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but we seem to be going in a direction away from God. And we pray for our country, pray for our leaders, and pray for people who elect our leaders. That's what we need to do.
I think, like, right now, like, you know, America has gotten, like, too far from God. And I think, like, you know, that as Christians, we need to start accepting, like, you know, America is never going to go back to how it used to be.
Well, and you may be right there, and we're coming up on the break here at the bottom of the hour, and when you think about it, America is not a major player in end-time prophecy. I think that they're there in a diminished capacity. I think that leadership in the world is starting to shift away from America. I believe it's going to shift over to Europe and over to Asia and the Middle East, Russia and places like that. Yeah, we're seeing the shift away from America being the dominant power. America, I think, was here for a time for a reason. And I really do believe we're seeing, I'd like to say that I can see America getting better and everything. But unfortunately, when you read end time prophecies, America is not the major player there. And to go from being the major player in the world that it is today to a bit player, something's got to happen. Out of time. Thanks for the call. Stay tuned for the next half.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, good evening. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word, and hope you'll stick with us here this evening. If you have trouble getting us on the air, you can always listen live online at whkwradio.com. That's whkwradio.com. And also, you can go to our website at live.maplenoel.us. Maple Knoll spelled M-A-P-L-E-K-N-O-L-L. That's maple or live.maplenoel.us. And you can actually find some of our previous programs there. We archive a number of them there going back a few months. And if you'd like to listen to one of our programs there. But, of course, we're brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is the home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights has calzone, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Mention Live with Pastor Al, and you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. East Coast Pizza is located at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, across from the high school. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. Give them a call at 216-341-9100. And also, if you're interested in getting in the pizza business yourself, it's surprisingly affordable. Give Gus a call at East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100, and ask Gus how he can help you get started in your own pizza shop, your own pizza business, for probably, you know, $50,000 or less. That sounds like a lot unless you've looked at the franchise fees for some of the big-name pizza franchises. But that's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, across from the Garfield Heights High School, 216-341-9100. Tell them you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, we're getting back to our program here. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got several callers called in held over the break there. We've got some more calling in, so we're going to have to probably chop through. I went a little long with our caller last time. We got onto a subject that we hadn't covered in a while. And so let's go ahead and take our first call here tonight. SB, I believe, is on the line, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Hello.
How are you?
All right. Good evening. Welcome.
Yes. I called last week. I'm calling again.
Yes, ma'am.
I was wondering if you could maybe, can I ask for a prayer request real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, as I said last week, I'm from Israel, and my mom is going to be traveling to Israel tomorrow, which is very nerve-wracking to me.
Oh, absolutely. This time, it's going on over in the Middle East right now.
Yeah.
Understandable.
And she's almost 84, and she's going alone.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wondered if you could say a quick prayer. Yeah. And then my question is, do you think that there will be war, and do you think that this will lead to the obliteration of Damascus as it speaks about in the Bible?
Oh, absolutely. Good questions. And certainly pray for your mother there. And I know a lot of our listeners out there will certainly pray and about that. As far as Damascus and the situation there in Israel, the Bible foretells the destruction of Damascus. And
mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can find this here.
Yeah,
Ezekiel chapter... Isaiah chapter 17, there we are.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah 17, verses 1 through 4, the burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it
mm-hmm.
shall be a ruinous heap. I mean, we don't even have to go on beyond that. That's pretty clear right there.
Yeah.
Also, we can tie that in with Jeremiah, I believe. Let me see if I can find that real quick. Jeremiah chapter 49 here says concerning Jeremiah 49 verse 23, it starts concerning Damascus, Hamath is confounded in Arpad, for they have heard evil tidings, they are faint-hearted, there is sorrow on the sea, it cannot be quiet, Damascus is waxed feeble, and turneth herself to flee, and fear hath seized on her, anguish and sorrows have taken her as a woman in travail. How is the city of praise not left, the city of my joy? Therefore her young men shall fall in her streets, and all the men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will kindle a fire in the wall of Damascus, and it shall consume the palaces of Ben-Hadad. And Damascus is the, I believe, if not the oldest, certainly one of the oldest, most continually occupied cities in the world.
Yes, uh-huh,
and,
it is. Uh-huh.
Yes, it's never been destroyed like
right,
that
right.
prophecy in Jeremiah 49 says, where the people are all cut off, and it says in that day. And then as we look there in Isaiah, where it says that the, you know, that Damascus is destroyed. And there at the end of chapter 17, it says, let's see here, down towards the end of that, it says in the last verse there, verse 14, and behold, at eveningtide trouble, and before the morning he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and the lot of them that rob us, which suggests that Damascus is destroyed in one night.
Yeah, right.
And that's certainly not happened. And Israel has the ability to do that.
Nuclear
option there. And I believe that there
I
is going to be.
I was told that they would. You know,
yes.
if there would be war on them with chemical war or whatever, that they would.
Yes,
you know?
and that's been pretty much said before, that if they felt that they were about to fall, if they felt, if they were attacked with chemical, biological, or nuclear weapons, they would respond with a nuclear response. And Israel has, I think I read one place that they suspect that they have at least about 100 various nuclear warheads. Possible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but the concerning thing is, although I think there's a reason for it, obviously everything God has a reason, is that Israel also is going to suffer during that battle. Because when you read about Damascus and the kingdom ceasing from Damascus and all that, it says, and in that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall wax lean, which suggests that they suffer considerably during this time. He goes on to say, it shall be as when the harvestman gathereth the corn and reapeth the ears with his arm. It shall be as he that gathereth ears in the valley of Rephaim. Yet gleaning grapes shall be left in it, as the shaking of an olive tree, two or three berries in the top of the uttermost bough, four or five, and the outmost fruitful branches thereof, saith the Lord God of Israel. And that's like when they go through and they harvest and they take the bulk, you know, of the crop, but there's always some left over that they don't get right away, you know, the gleanings that are left over, they are left in the field, left in the orchard, left in the vineyard. And so that suggests that Israel is going to be, you know, suffering considerably during this war in the Middle East, but it will survive. Now, Syria and Damascus, on the other hand, are obliterated, as is, of course, Egypt. And as I was starting to say in the beginning of the first hour, it looks like Jordan will be, Lebanon as well, and probably portions of Iraq, which would be where Babylon was, they're going to be obliterated. And I believe it, when you read some of the descriptions, you know, places like Babylon, the city of Babylon, will be a place that says even the Arabian won't pitch his tent there. Egypt, it said, will be uninhabitable for 40 years. The Egyptians will leave their own country, those that survive. And all these sorts of things suggest some kind of nuclear attack. And what country would be most likely to do that? Well, obviously, it's Israel.
I was wondering if you thought there might be war.
And I did put together a booklet on this called The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War. And the the subtitle of it is Setting the Stage for the Rise of the Antichrist and the Coming Ezekiel 38 Battle. Because in Ezekiel 38, Israel's a land of unwalled villages. It's not that today. It's a land where they're dwelling in peace and safety. And just my speculation based on these prophecies is that Israel will survive. The world will be so horrified by a regional nuclear war that in the chaos and confusion, you think your gas prices are high now, wait till something like this takes place. I can see where one man could rise to power and become the Antichrist, and Israel would be willing to lay down their arms and allow this international force led up by the Antichrist to bring peace to Israel and sign a seven-year treaty with him, like in the book of Daniel. So hopefully that'll help there. I'm just looking at my board here. I got to watch it. I got three more people calling.
Yeah, I'm going to let you go and get some calls.
But, I appreciate that question there. And pray for that area. Pray for Israel. Pray for your mom as she's traveling there. And
goodness.
We just need to realize, she's in the Lord's hands.
Yeah.
And, we just pray that God will take care of her. But appreciate your call there tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. We've got Fran next on the line. Fran, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yes, I'm really
concerned
if they don't retaliate against America because we're so close to Israel. Helping Israel, and it would be a major problem.
I believe that one of the things that may, contribute to the downfall of America could be some retaliatory actions. And a lot of people say, well, how could that be? America is such a strong country. But, we are, like the Roman Empire, kind of rotting from within to a certain degree with our moral decay in this country and lack of spirituality anymore. But we do know, it's been shown, it's been demonstrated that there are terrorist sleeper cells across this country, and threats have been made by Iran and Syria and others in the past, Hezbollah and others, that if an attack is made on Syria, that they will activate these sleeper cells across the United States, and certainly a great deal of confusion and chaos that would cause, while at the same time, of course, a major war in the Middle East that goes nuclear and gas prices going sky high. Our economy right now is really teetering. We think of what's happening, and the estimates of the unemployment rate right now are probably over 20%, really the real unemployment, because it's artificially lower because a lot of people have just dropped out of the employment market. And, our economy has just not bounced back in the last, since 2008. And so as a consequence, this could be a tremendous shock. This could really push us into a depression in this country. And as we look at these things happening and the confusion that takes place with a number, like I said, of terrorist attacks and possibly an electromagnetic pulse attack, which would take out electrical items, electrical devices across, let's say, the eastern half of the United States. And let's say that the rapture took place in the middle of that. Nobody would miss us much, would they? Because they'd be so busy with everything else going on. And then maybe later on, they'd be saying, what happened to those Christians that used to live down the road? Where did they go?
Right.
And but at the same time, in the confusion, allows a strong man to come to the scene, as I was telling our last caller, and I could see that contributing to the rise of the Antichrist for the tribulation period. But we certainly need to pray for our world and our country.
Right. I think the gas prices are definitely going to go up through this war situation, if they start shooting into the Syrian.
Well, and it's not just Syria. There was a report in the news suggesting that Russia made some threats against Saudi Arabia because Saudi Arabia has been supporting the Syrian resistance groups, and of course there's still the problems in Egypt going on. There was a terrorist attack thwarted against a container ship going through the Suez Canal last week. And there's some important oil and gas pipelines going across the Middle East. And, a few attacks in key places. The economic turmoil that we've seen in the past few years is nothing compared to what we could see. So right. Pray for our country.
Okay, and, thank you so much.
Thank you. And keep looking up, knowing that our hope is not in our government officials, but in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Appreciate your call tonight. And, of course, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We have Barbara on the line next. Barbara, thanks for holding. And welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, hi, thank
you. Hi, good evening. We're...
I've been pretty sick, not talking real good, but I wanted to ask you a question. It's really kind of a stupid question on my part, but I had never actually thought of this before until the other day, and I thought, I got to ask somebody.
All right.
Okay, you know the rich man and Lazarus story?
Right.
Okay, when Lazarus died, he went to heaven, right?
Well, let me get back here. He went to paradise, and you got to remember, this took place before the cross, and I come back to that in a minute, but go ahead.
Okay,
and,
go ahead. Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. The rich man died and could look up and see Lazarus. And I told Henry, I said, now was the rich man in hell? Because hell's is the judgment day, isn't it?
Well, hell is a place that the Bible describes as being in the center of the earth. And, you know, it very well probably is. I believe that's where it's at. We really know nothing about what's in the center of the earth. We have no way of getting there. Everything that we think we know about it is just guesses. It's nothing but guesswork. We can't even get anywhere near it. But hell in the Bible, we need to understand there's hell in the Bible, and sometimes the word translated as hell is also translated as the grave. And so we have in we have in the Old Testament, there's a Hebrew word Sheol, which means the grave or hell, and it basically means the place of the dead. And the word hell generally comes from the Greek word Hades, and that's basically what it means as well, the abode of the dead. And let me give you an interesting passage here.
That's for the unsaved, right?
Well, let me just read this here, and then we'll see here. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching great message on the day of Pentecost, and thousands of people are saved as a result of this message. But as he's preaching, he quotes from Psalm 16, and he says this, as Acts chapter 2, verse 25, For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope. And he says this in verse 27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now, David said in Psalm 16 that he was confident that God would not leave his soul in hell, as in Sheol.
That was
the abode of the abode of the dead. Okay, now David was a righteous man. He was in a place called paradise, and that's when Peter is quoting this in Acts chapter 2. He used the word Hades there for hell, and he was saying that that David was confident he would not remain there. See, Luke chapter 15, where a rich man and Lazarus take place, in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 here, where...
But he could look up and see, but Lazarus couldn't see him.
Or I'm sorry, Luke chapter 16 and all, where Luke chapter 16, where Lazarus and the rich man are, this is before the cross. And see, I believe what took place before the cross, before the blood atonement was made, is that when people died, the saved or the righteous went into a place called paradise, and the unsaved, the unrighteous, went into a place of torment, and there's a gulf fixed between them. They could see across it, they could hear across it, but they could not traverse it, okay? Now, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says, and let me go over here to and I'm trying to hurry because this is something.
Yeah, I know you're right.
Yeah, that
let,
I would.
Let me hang up and just listen. Well.
Let me go over here. I lost my place over here in Ephesians that I wanted to go to, Ephesians chapter 4. And I know we've got another caller there that I'd like to try and get to, hopefully. But in Ephesians chapter 4, we have a great statement here that says what Jesus did when he died on the cross. It says that he descended into the lower parts of the earth. Ephesians 4, verse 9 says, or I'm going to go to verse 8, actually. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, talking about Jesus, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And it says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He
that
descended, Ephesians 4, verses 8, 9, and 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, and he might fulfill all things. And let me just kind of sum it up here real quick. A lot of people mistakenly teach that Jesus went and suffered in hell for us. That's not the case. He descended into the lower parts of the earth, into the place of paradise. He presented himself as the Messiah that all those in paradise had been looking forward to, and showed that the blood atonement had been made. And then he took captivity captive and ascended up into heaven with them. Now, the people, the rich man in hell in torment, the people in torment could see Jesus. They saw the one that they rejected. They saw the one that they refused to accept or refused to believe in. And so they saw him, but Jesus did not suffer. He suffered on the cross, because on the cross he said, "It is finished." And then he died. He descended into paradise. He removed them to heaven. They didn't go to heaven before that. They went to paradise. They wouldn't go there until after the blood atonement was made. And then, of course, in the last judgment, the great white throne judgment in Revelation, the Bible says death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. And so the place of torment eventually is going to be put into the lake of fire. So the lake of fire is different than hell itself. The lake, the hell is a temporary holding place.
Okay.
It had formerly been a temporary holding place for all of the dead. The temporary use of it, of paradise for the righteous dead, ended with the cross. And the temporary use of it for the unrighteous dead in the place of torment will end at the great white throne judgment, when death and hell give up the dead that are in them, and then they're going to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity, as will hell itself. It's got to be different. You can't cast something into itself. So hopefully in that real quick bit there, we covered some of that.
Amen. Well, you did a great job.
All right. Well,
and
I appreciate
that. You got me straightened out.
All right. Maybe another night we'll go and spend some more time on it. But all right. Well, I appreciate that. And I know people pray for you. And I'm going to try and catch our last caller here. We just got about a minute or so for Tiffany. And Tiffany, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi.
Hi.
Lord.
Good evening. Hi. We got to go quick because we just got about a minute or two left.
Yeah, you know, just touching on, you know, the crisis with the possibility of going into war.
Right.
You know, the Lord laid on my heart when they were showing all the, you know, the dead babies and things that was on the news there.
Mm-hmm.
You know how that feeling, that gut feeling when you get in trouble, you know, and you feel it down in your gut like this is going to be, you know, a trouble, a problem. You know, and those headlines flash across the screen. I got that gut intense feeling, and it brought me back something to my memory, a dream that God had given me.
You're going to have to wrap it up, or I'm going to run out of time.
Yeah, I dreamt of post-war America, you know, and I pray for this country right now because I...
Absolutely. I'm sorry I'm going to have to cut you off there. We're out of time, Tiffany. I appreciate that, and we do have to pray for our country. I think time is short. I think the Lord's returning soon. You need to get your heart right with God if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Today, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Turn from your way and embrace Christ as your Savior before it's too late. If we can be a help, contact us. Good night. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word.